Mayim to celebrate your Simchat Torah. And as we talk about two related things, one is the general idea of Simchat Sukkot, and the second is the specific connection of Simcha to the water drawing ceremony. Even if Sukkot is a happy time, why should that be connected to the water drawing ceremony per se? The joy of Sukkot really is both in terms of its agricultural cycle, it is part of the ingathering, but more importantly, it commemorates Hashem accepting us, surrounding us, enveloping us in the clouds of glory in the aftermath of Yom Kippur. It's kind of a tangible sign of Hashem's love and the fact that we are connected to what is for us again. Just to go on the point, that the commemoration of the clouds of glory that Sukkot commemorates is not the Anani HaKavra that we receive when we left in Shriyat. Otherwise, Sukkot should have been during Pesach, but it is the Anani HaKavra that will restore to us after the sin of the golden calf, which was forgiven on Yom Kippur. And after Yom Kippur, people began contributing to the Mishkan, and on Sukkot, the Dom Adon makes the Chesed, the 15th of the month, 5 days after Yom Kippur, the Anami HaKavra came back. It's interesting that the Gemara in Tanya tells us that there were three things that Hashem gave us in the desert, and each of them are connected to one of the three leaders. In the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, we got the man that fell from heaven. In the merit of Miriam, we had the traveling well of water, and that's why when Miriam died, that well dried up. And finally, in the merit of Aaron, we were zocher to the Anami HaKavra of the clouds of glory that protected us. And that is why when Aaron died, those clouds of glory were also nistalet. The Mabit, in the sacred base of Elokim, asks the Kasha, we know we have the holiday of Sukkot to commemorate the Anami HaKavra, but why is that the only one of the three gifts that we celebrate? We don't have a Monday. Monday. We don't have a well day, etc. Why is it that we have a holiday only for the Anane HaKavra? And the Mabit gives a few answers. One answer he gives is that we don't want to commemorate the Mon or the well because they came through Machlokas. The Mon came because the Jewish people were complaining, how are we going to eat in the desert? You took us out in the desert to kill us, etc. So it came through a complaint. The well also came because people were complaining, where is the water? Because Baruch Hu did not want there to be a Yom Kippur that is based on Machlokas, based on Masa, based on the sentiment. The Anami HaKavra, however, came for Shalom, came for peace, it was a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not connected in any way to animosity or Machlokas. The second answer the Magid gives is that man and the air, bread and water, are necessities. Hashem has to give us that in some way, whether Hashem has pledged himself not to destroy the Jews. So to give us bread, to give us water, that does not yet show divine love. Bread and water, that's survival. The Anani HaKavra, that sense of closeness. That was a gift. That was frosting on the cake. That was something beyond basic survival. And for that, it was a celebration. And the third terrace of our biscuit, not a very powerful terrace, is that the Mon and the Be'er were past events, which we might remember or commemorate. The Anone HaKadon is a present reality that one can experience now. Maybe I don't see the planet, but the shame is not only something that was there in the past, it is something that is here right now. And in that sense, Sukkot is not sustainable because we can leave the illusion of our home, of our security, our protection, our fortresses. We put ourselves in a vulnerable, precarious environment. But we do so with the serenity and the security of knowing that if Hashem is with us, there is nothing for us. We are more aware of the relationship God has with the Jewish people. I heard in the second of Israel, we say that life in Israel, by definition, is miraculous. You have to believe in miracle every single day. Otherwise, you're irrational. Miracle is the only rational way to live in this land of Hashkacha Pratis that we see every day. And therefore, when we move into the Sukkah, we recognize recognize, as religious should recognize the whole year, the precariousness and fragility of our system, but at the same time be connected to our Kodesh Baruch Hu in this great, great relationship with God. Now we know that Sukkot has an abundance of very, very special liturgies. We have the Sukkah, we have the Lulav and the Yetzirah. But in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was another unique ceremony that only applied in the temple itself. That is, every single day, sacrifices were brought. A morning sacrifice, an afternoon sacrifice. And every single day, twice a day, there was a libation of wine that would be poured. After the animal parts would be sacrificed on the altar, we would pour wine on the mizbeach. Sukkot also did that. But in addition to pouring the wine on the altar, there was an additional pouring of water, Nisuch HaMayim, and this occurred for only the 7 days of Sukkot, as the Gemara says, because on Sukkot we're judged for water, so we give Hashem a sacrifice of water. According to one opinion, it was also done on Shemini Esrei, Shemini, and your 7 days or 8 days. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara, I don't want to get too overly technical, although the technicalities are quite interesting. What is the source? But what is the source of the water ritual? According to one opinion, there is no source in the Torah itself. It is an oral halacha that was given to Moshe at Sinai, and it is part of the oral law. There was no source in the written Torah. According to another opinion, it is derived from the fact that when the Torah describes the daily offerings of Sukkot, and normally it talks about the wine libation, but in one of the places, instead of the niskar, which is singular, says Niskehem, there's an extra mem, and then another one, Nisacheha, an extra yud, and then again, the Niskehem, a mem, yud, mem, it spells out Mayim, that's Rabbi Huda's drasha. There's some very interesting afkaminas, because if you're using the mem, yud, mem to spell Mayim, you're using a final letter to actually spell a word that would give a non-final letter. And the Gemara itself indicates that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you wrote a final letter and you should have written a regular letter, it would be kosher, because that's in fact how the Torah spells the word life. So there's interesting halachic implications for Ksiva Sefer Torah in the Makor of Nisuch HaMayim. But being as it may, Nisuch HaMayim was part of the Avodah space of the But the Mishnah in Sukkah tells us that they would do this in the morning, but the night before, they would spend the whole night, every night of Sukkot, Shabbos, and Yom Kippur, they would spend rejoicing, dancing, singing. And then at the crack of dawn, there would be a procession to the Shiluach. The Shiluach still alive, right over there. And in that spring, they would draw the water, and they would bring it. But the whole night, every night of Sukkot, it was called a Simchas Beis HaShaliva, the joy of the drawing of the water. Mara says, Mishalayah Simchas Beis Shaliva, if somebody did not see the joy of the water drawing, Loi Ra Simcha Leyamav, they never saw what Simcha was. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that we didn't sleep the whole week. As Mara explains, you can't really go more than 3 days without sleeping, but it means we would drowse, we would just lean against the wall, etc. Because we were rejoicing the whole night, and then we had the korbanos, then we had the davening, then we had the learning, and then we had the sudas, and then it was time for the night celebration again. And the whole thing started over and over and over. The Talmid Yerushalmi tells us, one has to be careful, some of us who are super can take it, that Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi Yonah, we read about him on Yom Kippur, he was given the mission to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to give Nineveh, he's Rishayim, the message of Tshuva. Because he felt it would look bad at the Jewish people that they didn't do Tshuva. And Nineveh does Tshuva. But the Gemara says, Yonah didn't go to Navi school. Yonah did not train to be a Navi. Yonah was not from a family of Nevi'im. But what happened was, he was so involved in the Simcha of Simcha's Beis Yeshua that he reached the level of Ruach HaKodesh in his life. So be careful. You never know. If Chazal says, Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, can only come when you're joyous. And the question is, we have so many Nevuahs in Tanakh that are sad and tragic. Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha. The whole Nevi'im talking about the Korban. And yet they couldn't have gotten that Nevuah without Simcha. And the answer is that somehow simultaneously, There is the simcha of being connected to Hashem, where even if you deal with tragedy, you have a simcha that is called to get a person through every type of situation. There are difficulties in life. There are challenges in life. There are things that don't go the way we want. Call Israel as a whole. We've gone through so many tragedies. But the simcha of my relationship with my people gives us the hope to go forward. A person can reach Ruach HaKodesh. And in fact, according to one opinion of the Gemara, although Shoeva, of course, means drawing water, but according to another interpretation, Yisharm Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh, to draw divine inspiration. Well, that's similar to the Shoah. And it mentions, again, Rambam mentions, it's really all from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, that the great Tannaim, famous people, Rabbi Shimon Lamiel, people that we learn about all the time, they would juggle torches and do tricks and acrobatics. And just as when David HaMelech was dancing in front of the Aron HaKodesh, as it was being brought to Yerushalayim, and his wife Michal said, this is not fitting for a king to behave like a wild person dancing around and jumping around. And David HaMelech says, to honor Hashem by the expression of our joy is the greatest thing that this world can do. I would go even beyond this. To honor HaKodesh Baruch Hu with our bodies. All year we try to honor Hashem, hopefully, with our learning, with our mind, and with our heart, with our tefillah. And we do that on Sukkot, of course, also. But also we bring in our physical bodies. All of us must have to learn Hashem and come over. David HaMelech says, all of my bones say to Hashem, who is this? That is the dancing of Sukkot space. But there is one remaining question that needs to be explored. That is, okay, I understand Sukkot is a time of sin. And I understand how important simcha is. But why is it connected to the water ceremony? It's connected to Lulav and Ezra. The Torah itself uses the water ceremony to Lulav and Ezra, who's Masta and Hashem Elokecha and Shemaz Yom. So if there is a simcha, and if Sukkot is a Matzah, I understand that. But why would I bedavka connect the simcha aspect to the pouring of the water? Oh, that we understand. Take some other mitzvah. Especially in this word, the Tyrant Hufa says, a simcha of Lulav and Ezra. Lulav and Ezra is a mikdash, actually, at home. It's called Rashi for 7 days, you smach them, you shiva yamim, you go to the Baruch Yisrael, and one day do Raisa, and only Zedra the mikdash, then we do it there. So Rav Futter says, it's often very, very beautiful. First of all, there are many, many mahalchim here. Some of this is rooted very deeply in Kabbalah. I'm just going to allude to it about the Gemara. We don't have a lot of time. Basically, we know that on Sukkot, bring korbanos. The bulls of Sukkot equal the number 70. 70 bulls. And the Gemara says this is connected to 70 nations of the world that tried to destroy us. The Vilna Gaon has an arichos, in which he says, although there are 70 nations, spiritually, the two enemies of the Jewish people are the Koach of Esav and the Koach of Yishmael, even though many nations are not related to the race of Yishmael, but spiritually, some nations are connected to Esav, some are connected to Yishmael. In modern times, we see this very, very clearly, because Esav eventually became the Christian nation, and Yishmael eventually became the Islamic nation. So we clearly see that we live in a world where we have the Esavs and we have the Yishmaels coming together. In fact, the United States, one might argue, is a keeper of Esav and Yishmael. We have an Esav country with a president who comes from Islamic background. It's interesting to the idea of a keeper of Esav and Yishmael. And there are many, many images here exactly how the last Gevura will be a struggle against Yishmael. And it's brought down that Esav is described as the danger of fire. We say, Hashem, you have put us through fire and water. Esav is H. Yishmael is fire. Nisa Chayayin, which is red, it's kind of like the color of fire. That represents our attempt to be miskaber against Esav. But Sukkot is specifically tied, although Esav is here too, is specifically tied to the downfall of Yishmael. And that's satisfied sukkahs is connected. In fact, some want to say the imagery that Zechariah uses, that Moshiach is an ani, will be like a poor person, that is Rochei Rava Chamor, that will be riding on a donkey. And Shmuel is referred to as a donkey, refers to Moshiach who eventually vanquish Yeshua. So part of Yisachamayim is, it is the ultimate downfall of the Koach of Yishmael, which is the final Gullah before Mashiach. But Rav Huttner says, and a bit of a simpler answer, although Huttner's words are always very, very profound. Rav Huttner says the following. The Medrash tells us that on the second day of creation, Hashem created what is called a firmament, a rakia, that separated between the upper waters and the lower waters. There are the waters in heaven with Hashem, and then there are the waters on earth. And the Medrash says that the lower waters cried to Hashem. And the lower waters said, why have you separated us from you? We want to be connected to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there will be 1 week a year in which the lower waters will be taken from their earthly source. They will be poured on the Mizbeach, coming back to Hashem by the carbon to Hashem. And that is the reunification of the Mayim HaTachonim, the lower water, and the Mayim Olam. Rav Huttner said, that is exactly what we are. Throughout the year, we have become progressively more separated from our country. Every time we do Averis, we are separated. Averis, the Rambam writes, really is a pasuk. Averis are a machina. Averis are like a wall of separation. And we have so many walls in terms of our actions, in terms of our kavanas, in terms of the imperfect execution of even our good intentions. And we become more and more and more rachav. And when a person is rachav from Hashem, that creates sadness, and that creates despair, and that creates depression. And a person can sometimes feel that I'm so rachav from Hashem that even if I get a tshuva, even after Yom Kippur, but Hashem forgave me. Hashem wiped the slate clean. How can we be closer? I'm so rachav from Hashem. Nisach HaMayim reminds us that even that which became Nisrachek from a Kodesh Baruch can always be reunited. So when I see those waters that were separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu so many thousands of years ago, being reunited and going after this Mizbeach, I realize no matter how far you are, you can always go home again. You can always go home again. And therefore, the simcha of the Nisach HaMayim is the simcha that the racha can become the kara. Therefore, that adds to our joy. My sukkahs is Zaman. Let me just end with one final mice, which is really not to make it anything else, but it's a cute mice. Many of you, of course, have read the books of Pesach Krug, and he's a writer. He's a Moab, he's famous, and modern day Moab, he tells many, many stories. But this is a story that I believe is not in his book, so I heard it. It's Torah's Pesach Krug, Torah Shabbat Pet. I haven't kept up with all the books. Maybe by now it's there. But I heard it at a time when it was not in any book. This was a story that he had guests over for Shabbos, and one of the guests that he had for one Shabbos meal was a person who had just become a Shomer Shabbos. But he had been, his career, what was his career beforehand? He had been a competitive cyclist. Used to ride the marathon bicycle race like the Tour de France, etc., which obviously you can't really do if you're Shomer Shabbos because the bulk of the travel is over weekends, Saturday and Sunday. So he said he had to give it up. He said he had to give it up if he wanted to be a Shomer Shabbos since he no longer practiced bicycling competitive. So the question always is, conversation. So was it hard to give it up? Was it so difficult that you have to give it up to become a Shomer Shabbos? Or I was interested in the other side of things. And the person said the following idea. The person said, in many ways, I found becoming a religious Jew was very much like competitive bicycling. How is that so? Why is it the same? Because, when you're a competitive cyclist or any type of sport at a very high level, an Olympic swimmer, the differences between first and second, they're not like one guy is, an hour ahead of the other person. These are not only seconds, these are fractions of seconds. Right? Now, when the difference between you and the next guy is only a fraction of a second. You have to get rid of everything you don't need. So, you know, you shave, you know, the hair on your arms or whatever it is. So if you're a cyclist, you throw away your scarf. So he says, being a competitive cyclist taught you to get rid of all of the junk that weighs you down in life and just keep what you have to have and recognize that so many things are really superfluous, and if they are superfluous, they drag you down. And you came again? That's exactly what the Torah teaches. Focus on what's important. Don't get distracted. Don't get cluttered with all of the things that people think are real and important and significant. And Menela, that's part of the lesson of Sukkah too. On some level, again, it may not always manifest in the way our modern Sukkahs are, but Sukkah is also about making life simpler, a little bit, moving away from the luxury and the fanciness to focus on the bigger and the basic. And that way, to unclutter yourself. By uncluttering yourself, you're able to focus on what is MS and what is true and what is necessary, and don't get distracted in it. So, yes, it's a sham. I hope that all of us will be Zohar, having the Mishtaka for a true Simcha of being in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to know that no matter how far we may have wandered, and all of us have wandered to this week, this is a time when the Racha becomes the Karim. And just as we have joy in our relationship with Hashem, I've got this work that's showing other relationships.